You talk of spears of destiny, that Himmler had one, Saddam had one, and America, in fact, has one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with Himmler. What is a spear of destiny?
Well, the traditional thought on the spear of destiny is that this is the spear that the Roman centurion Longinus had at the crucifixion. He uses the spear to poke Jesus' body hanging on the cross and outspurts the blood and water, the transformed blood and water coming from his body. And afterwards, this spear disappears into myth and legend, but it now becomes called the spear of destiny. And the legend is that whoever controls the spear of destiny controls the destiny of the world. And so you have all of these various researchers that point to this literal artifact, a Roman spear that's kept in the Habsburg Museum in Austria. But in fact, when you research Heinrich Himmler, especially his place called Heinrich Himmler's Camelot, you find that Himmler himself had a very different idea about what the spear of destiny was. And he portrays it as a long rod that looks like an arrow tip. That is, in fact, a massive SS facility that was intended to be a library. It was going to be a research facility. But what it encodes is this ancient belief that the true spear of destiny is, in fact, some kind of a device that may have at one time been responsible for opening gateways into other realms.
And there's evidence that the Nazis were working on something based on this technology?
Absolutely. There's no question now that based on research that's been coming out ever since World War II, that the Nazis were into some very exotic physics and some very exotic science. And we couple that with the understanding that they were also deeply, deeply interested in the ancient world. And we come up with what appears to be a match between their science and the source of many of these ideas, the ancient world.
Okay, then move forward to Saddam, and apparently there's some sort of satellite photograph of a clock tower built by Saddam in Baghdad, which it says is a virtual carbon copy of Himmler's Spear of Destiny. Is that so, and why?
Well, it is so, and it was absolutely mind-blowing to me when we first invaded Baghdad back in 2003 and these photos became available. It was part of Saddam's ceremonial center. And it seems that what these people do once they, and we also have to first of all acknowledge that Saddam was deeply interested in these the occult history of ancient Iraq. It appears that once they recognize this knowledge, that they build these constructions that essentially become sort of like flagpoles for those in the know that they've apprehended this knowledge and are now prepared to actually use that knowledge. And I think that what happened is that Saddam recognized that this clock tower that he built was a perfect place for him to portray his understanding of this ancient technology, and he himself created a spear of destiny that is an absolute ringer for Himmler's. Why is it that they are identical, virtually
mm-hmm.
identical?
Mm-hmm.
I think because they're describing a machine, a device, a particle accelerator. And the reason why they're so similar, it's sort of like if you and I suddenly started researching transportation, we came up with a model for an automobile. Our designs would be strikingly similar because we're apprehending the same body of knowledge.
Well, this may be reaching, but as we all know, prior to the latest Iraq war, we all thought maybe we were duped into thinking that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. Perhaps he really had some. Or could it be true that Saddam, or in Saddam's mind, he thought he had, in the spear of destiny, some kind of weapon of mass destruction, and that is in fact what he was talking about, that which we never found?
Oh, I think that that's an absolutely accurate statement, that Saddam understood the value of this ancient knowledge. He was gathering thousands upon thousands of ancient Sumerian tablets. He had opened the Saddam Hussein School for ancient cuneiform studies. He was creating museums dedicated to the Anunnaki gods of ancient Sumeria. He had called the Berlin Museum, requested the return of the Ishtar Gate of Babylon. He had called the British Museum, wanting copies of the tablets that the British had taken out of Iraq during the 19th century. All of this in an effort to create what I call a Disneyland for the Anunnaki. He was creating this massive database of ancient knowledge, and the focal point of it, I'm convinced, is this knowledge about ancient technology and especially the secrets of the gods, especially the secrets of the gates of the gods.
Well, I wonder what happened to him. I mean, if he had had real weapons of mass destruction, surely when he saw us coming at him, he knew that was the ball game, and so he would have used them. He did not. So he must have been woefully disappointed in the spear of destiny because we found him hiding in a little hole in the ground.
Well, that in itself was scripted. And the script that they were following when they did that is the script of what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Saddam, as we all know, or many of us realize, connected himself with Nebuchadnezzar, the ancient king of Babylon, mm-hmm. who himself was deeply interested in the occult knowledge, especially that concerning the Tower of Babel, which was the original gate to heaven that was destroyed by the Israelite god Yahweh. And so when you follow that script of Nebuchadnezzar, he had opened what is described as a fiery furnace in the book of Daniel, which has all of the hallmarks of being a gateway story. Three men, three wise men from the Temple of Solomon entered the fiery furnace and came back out with the Son of God in tow. And if we take out fiery furnace and put in frequency or gate of vibrational gateway, we right. have what appears to be a Stargate story. After Nebuchadnezzar and the three wise men opened this gate, the watchers came down. And it's often cited as a punishment that Nebuchadnezzar was forced to eat grass. And this is why Saddam was put in a hole, because the Iraqi people understood his connection to Nebuchadnezzar. They understood that after Nebuchadnezzar opened the gate, he too was forced to eat grass. And so when they show Saddam as this wild man looking prophet, this is tearing a page right out of the book of Daniel and aligning him with Nebuchadnezzar. But in fact, in the Nebuchadnezzar story, when he opened that gate, he wasn't, I don't think, punished, because the book of Daniel also says that his body was covered with the dew of heaven. The dew of heaven is the soma. It's the elixir of immortality. It's what a lot of this is about from the alchemical perspective and other traditions. So I believe that what they were actually doing was opening a gateway, and what Nebuchadnezzar was, in fact, he was rewarded with immortal life after that.